From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Dan Bonas.
If you're just starting out with a garden, start out with just a couple of small spaces or a few 5-gallon buckets or something like that.
Retired Utah biology professor Fred Montag is lecturing to a packed house at the Unitarian Church in Salt Lake City, a passionate crowd that hangs on his every word about organic gardening and sustainable food production. They are hearing about raised beds and the mineral content of soil as if the technique of growing your own food is something that's just been discovered. But if sustainable gardening seems like something new to this generation of urban dwellers, Montag is the first to point out that a lot of people have been doing this for a long time. Over decades and even generations, they've learned what works in Utah and what gardening does for the soul as well as the dinner table. That's why Montag often assigned students to interview the oldest gardeners in their neighborhoods.
Once the contact was made and the student expressed the interest, the problem wasn't how to get the gardener to share. It was how to break off the conversation. And so old-time gardeners have lots to share.
I don't want a moral issue here. I let the worms do most of the work.
Will Pitkin is turning over his compost pile with a spading fork in his backyard garden in Hyde Park, just north of Logan. He looks much younger than his 75 years, with thick gray hair and a broad smile. He's long retired from teaching English at Utah State University. His gardening heritage goes back to his childhood in California.
I can remember as a 8-year-old carrying buckets of water about 50 yards to dump one bucket at a time on our hills of squash and so on. And at the time, I hated it. I thought life couldn't get much worse, but somehow it captures you.
Pitkin is just getting around to planting tomatoes and peppers in June because the spring was so wet and cold. But the garlic he planted last fall is 2 feet high, 20 varieties. It's his specialty, something he loves to share. And he may be on the verge of creating still a new variety.
Garlic. I found that about 1 out of 100 of these seeds was a nice pink color. And so I gathered up probably 50 of them and planted them in a little barrel out there. There's one of my hens with her babies. Get them out in the sunlight.
In Will Pitkin's gentle garden, the chickens lay lots of eggs, but they die of old age. Even pests like tomato hornworms get a break.
Well, I have in the past designated one tomato for the hornworms, and when I find one, I'll take it over and put it on that plant. As you may know, the tomato hornworm makes a beautiful moth.
Will Pitkin says he's never met a gardener he didn't like, and he's happy to learn from an older generation. Someone like 96-year-old Ray Maloof, who's been tending a 900-square-foot garden for more than 50 years in the backyard of his home, just a few blocks from the Utah State University campus in Logan.
I learned that gardening had to be done in the season when it was ready, and to plant at the right time, the right variety, and take care of them.
Dr. Ray, as his friends call him, grew up in Richfield, where his parents supplied travelers and others in the community with fresh produce. He points out one big advantage of growing your own food, eating varieties you won't find in any supermarket.
We grew squash, a Syrian type of squash. My folks would say Syrian, Lebanese. And they had a special squash that they liked real well, and tomatoes that they liked real well, and beans and all the other vegetables that they grew too. So we had a great variety.
Over here you have peppers, and so I got a bean row, and you got zucchini squash, and out here you have tomatoes and some pumpkins, and out further there you have corn.
Verl Breinholt doesn't get around as well as he used to. He'll turn 93 in August, and he needed some help this year to plant a garden on his acre of land in the Mill Creek area of Salt Lake County. A retired bricklayer, Verl and his wife Gladys raised all the vegetables they could eat, along with 10 children, in a sturdy brick house he built himself.
We had a garden from the very first, and our children grew up with the garden and had to help. And now they have gardens, and their children have gardens, most of them, because that's what they learned to enjoy.
Verl and Gladys met in the years just before World War II when they both served as missionaries for The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Alabama. She's from Georgia, and one year Verl says he even grew peanuts. But not everything works in Utah the way it does in the South.
One thing, Verl never, he tried watermelon once and it didn't get ripe, so he always said you couldn't grow watermelon, but I understand you can. Okay. If you get the right kind.
Today, young people from their LDS ward are helping in the garden, learning how to till and sow and use the Breinholtz 2 shares of irrigation water, though Verl wishes they'd be more careful where they step between the rows. And whether it's done with furrows and ditches or raised beds and shade cloth, these gardeners feel a spiritual connection to the food they grow that might elude the typical supermarket shopper.
I would hate to limit my diet to things that I had grown on my own. I think it's certainly a noble goal to raise as much as you can.
The more we can provide for our own use, the better. Raise our own and use our own. Sort of like the early pioneers did.
From this little tiny seed that comes out and makes a great big bush or makes a big vegetable. And all seeds are different. And it is one of those spectacular things that you have to recognize.
And for those who would approach eating in a thoughtful way, it's helpful to listen to those who've been growing their own food for a long, long time. Dan Bomas, KUER News.